This is Ozarks at Large. With our new daily format, we're planning many new features. We'll roll them out over the next few weeks and months. Today, we begin a new monthly segment we're calling Appreciation. Once a month, we'll examine a topic that should be appreciated, even if some of us don't always understand why. For our first installment, a subject that takes in plenty: art, drama, philosophy, graffiti, the New Testament, tattoos, and, well, almost every other part of modern culture. We're talking about classical studies. We talked with three members of the University of Arkansas's Classical Studies program last week: Daniel Levine, professor and director of classical studies; David Frederick, associate professor of classical studies and director of humanities; and Alex Pappas, assistant professor of classical studies. I asked them to respond to the thought that Plato, Oedipus, and the study of antiquities does or doesn't matter. Alex Pappas says,
"Well, I think that's our daily challenge in our classroom, but easily overcome, because I don't think there's anything that you do really in your daily life now that doesn't have some connection to classical antiquity. I think it's relevant on multiple levels. One is the very personal. So people gain a great deal from reading, for example, Homer's Iliad in a time at which our country is at war, or turn to Plato's philosophical text to try to understand their own kind of philosophical underpinnings or adventures, or in particular, the New Testament and ecclesiastical Latin really are meaningful for people on a personal level. But I think also, as we move toward this sort of sense of ourselves in a globalized world, classics is really relevant there too, because we can look back to ways that really smart people were trying to think about how to have exchanges with and interfaces with foreign cultures and people of different ethnicities. And those were often very difficult, fraught kinds of exchanges, and have their roots in some of the same conflicts that we're dealing with today in what was then the ancient Near East and is now the Middle East for us. North Africa was of great interest to classical historians, historians from the classical period. So the resonances are myriad. Look around town, and the architecture you see has its roots in the classical tradition, our governmental system, et cetera, et cetera. So I really think that it's embedded in our contemporary culture and society in ways that are really inextricable in some ways from the past.
Daniel Levine, the director of classical studies at the University of Arkansas, says students in his classes are often surprised by the connection between Homer and the present day. And sometimes they're surprised in a very personal way.
A woman came up to me in a class with tears in her eyes, saying, I've just read the Odyssey with you, and I had, and my husband is missing in action in Vietnam. And when I read about Penelope, it just spoke to me so deeply about her not knowing whether her husband would ever come home. Could she go on with her life? She said, "This is so universal. This is so personal to me. I'm just overcome with the coincidence of the human experience," as well as another surprise that a lot of my students notice and that I liked was the experience of war for Achilles, and the universality of the soldier experience. When a few years ago a book came out called Achilles in Vietnam by Jonathan Shea, it was just so clear that Vietnam veterans have the same kinds of experience that were so well described in the Iliad, which a lot of people think, well, it's just a story about one guy getting mad at another in battle and lots of people being killed, but the emotions and the experiences are so common to all periods that they speak directly to everybody.
Studying Greek and Latin is not without potential challenges. The grammar of ancient Greek is unfamiliar, and there are, as Dave Frederick puts it, those funny letters. He says when he began studying classics in college, getting the grasp of grammar opened up the works of Homer and Plato. And now, the work he did to learn ancient Greek and Latin pays off in an interesting way.
One of the practical outcomes of that grammar study, which I don't think a lot of other languages and their studies still foreground logical skills and grammar the way that classics does. But for me, now that I work a lot in digital studies, like I work a lot on in game design and a lot of programming, and having had the classical languages has really helped me with the logical structure of programming. So it had a real practical modern-day payoff that you never would have guessed.
Game programming, like for video?
Oh, like for computer games.
Okay.
Yeah, because that comes out of the study of, because one of the things I like to study is Roman art and Roman houses. And I found that it was very difficult to visualize how their houses work in terms of their decoration without 3D models. So now I've gotten into building 3D digital models of their houses and programming action through them. And that's why the study of computer languages.
There are more students interested in the classics than just future computer game creators or even people seeking a degree in classical studies. Pre-law and pre-med students seek out Latin and Greek classes since so much of the terminology of their disciplines is rooted in the ancient languages. Still, other students become interested after seeing popular movies like Gladiator, 300, or even Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, inspired by Homer. Alex Pappas says no matter the reason for the student's interest, classical studies can deliver lessons that are universal and vital.
I think, in general, what we all try to do, if I can speak for my colleagues, is to instill these skills of critical active thinking and logical processes, like Dave talked about accessing through his study of Greek grammar, that are applicable to any sort of future that our students may have, whether in engineering or CEO or medicine or dance or music or art. So, you know, those universals apply here too, just those fundamental skills of how to think critically, how to ask good questions, and how to kind of pull knowledge together in a way that advances knowledge and isn't just some sort of synthesis. And so even asking, you know, what's accurate in Gladiator is the first step in that kind of process.
And just so that you won't think that it's just us classics professors making this kind of justification, we asked our students who have graduated and gone on into the real world what value they got from their classics. And I have, I got a number of things. I'll just tell you a couple of things that they said. Here's a student who currently works as a vice president for legal operations for a software company in Silicon Valley. Says, classical studies most certainly helped me maximize my potential in many areas, helped me to solidify my understanding of my place in the world, to be able to analyze problems, to think clearly, to think creatively, to write, to feel connected to the past, and to know what the subjunctive is. Besides, it was a total blast. So he kind of summarizes what Alex and Dave just said about the fun and the cultural things, and we didn't even tell him to say that. I have dozens of these, but I just want to read one more. This is a guy who's a graduate from our classics program who's a business manager in e-commerce for a large American telephone and telegraph company that I won't tell you what the name is. He says, I had no problem getting a job with my classics degree. In interviews, I have to explain what a degree in classical studies is, and then in the ensuing silence that follows, add, yeah, when I graduated from college, the only thing I was qualified to do was to conquer the world. My classics degree, he says, has allowed me to stand out on the job market, not a single employer has viewed it as a negative, quite the contrary. Like wearing a pair of horn-rimmed glasses, employers assume it means I'm smart.
Finally, we asked each of our classical studies scholars what works they would recommend as an introduction or perhaps reintroduction to the classics of antiquity. First, we'll hear from Alec Pappas.
You'd be hard-pressed to go wrong with Homer, either the Iliad or the Odyssey. So I often that's something I recommend. Or one of the plays. You know, people often have some kind of connection already or know a little bit about ancient drama. So Oedipus can also be a good place to go.
Mm-hmm. I always tell people who ask me that question to read Herodotus, the father of history, as he's called. But he really is the father of good storytelling, the father of anthropology, because he tells stories from all over the ancient world, from Persia to Africa to Greece, is always going off on tangents, which is so fun. So Herodotus's histories of the Persian Wars also give us the the basics of the Battle of Marathon and the Thermopylae and so forth. But it's just a good read.
I would say if you're into urban grit and quality dirty textures, then I would read Petronius Satyricon, which gives you a really unparalleled look at the underside of Roman culture. It's not for the faint of heart, though. And then there's also the poetry of Catullus, which is, I mean, he's sort of a mid-level local elite, but a great, great poet. And he also gives you a really good look into, like, Rome at the time of Caesar, but from a fairly disaffected voice. And I think that's really important, is that the ancient world also has a lot of testimony from those that aren't feeling great about what's going on in this instance in Rome. And that which takes us back to, I think, another really good point made by Alex, especially. This is a multicultural world, and it's got some winners, but it also has a lot of losers and a lot of people struggling. And we do get glimpses of their experience, sometimes through literature, but sometimes through graffiti. And it's a world, like the Roman world in particular, was pretty dynamic. People moved up from the bottom sometimes. Sometimes they fell from the top. And if we can get at those emotional experiences and think about how it felt to be one of these people with practically nothing, or a person on the make who's got a little something and wants more, and the kind of systematic social barriers they face, if we can think about that and analyze that for Romans, then obviously we can turn around and say, what about our own culture? And say, how does that feel emotionally now to be in one of these disadvantaged positions, or to be ambitious, and what's in your way? And so I think it's a really, there's a lot of emotional connections to be made on that score. And I think some of the best reading to start getting an acquaintance with antiquity is not necessarily the greatest literature. And I think the Satyricon is pretty good. Also, Ovid's Metamorphoses is a great, great read. If you're into mythology, it's just an incredible tour de force in all these stories.
Dave Frederick, Daniel Levine, and Alex Pappas are faculty in the University of Arkansas Department of Classical Studies. You can learn more about the department at classics.uark.edu. To hear more from our conversation about classical studies, including the lure of Latin poetry, and their thoughts about certain popular culture takes on the subject, you can go to ozarksatlarge.com. Also there, a list of the works recommended. Finally, if there's a subject you'd like to hear more about in our monthly appreciation series, just let us know by sending an email from the website. This is Ozarks at Large.